Good afternoon. I'm Tyler Danberg. The NBA draft continues tonight with round two at 8. Tuesday, the Wizards chose BYU's A.J. DeBanza with the top pick, while Columbus's Daylon Swain went 15th overall to the Bulls. The Cavs will pick fourth tonight after trading the 29th pick to the Kings. ESPN projects Ohio State's Bruce Thornton to go to the Spurs tonight with the 44th pick. After declining his player option, ESPN reported Lakers guard Austin Reaves intends to sign a four-year, $185 million extension. And in baseball, the Guardians visit the White Sox at 2:10, trailing Chicago by a game out of first in the AL Central. Tonight, the Reds host the Brewers at 7:10. Hear the game on The Fan after the Buckeye Show. This update sponsored by the Waterworks and Header Plumbing, Drain, Heating, and Cooling, together to serve you better. Schedule today at thewaterworks.com. Breaking sports news when it happens right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner. Nooner. Funny. This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
All right, here we go. Welcome back in. Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, my boy Matty Ice Hayes, and the loose cannon behind the glass. How we doing, boys?
What up? I am doing well. How you feeling today, big dog?
Outstanding. Good. For a little wet and wild Wednesday, so we've got it going here. We'll have Shefty at 12:30, bottom of the hour. We'll talk some Jackets with Brian Hedger, dispatch reporter, beat reporter for the CBJ. We'll get into that in a few minutes. We'll have him at 1:30. We'll go up to Cleveland in the third hour with Mary Kay Cabot and kind of dig into what potentially this job is, because I think it's turning into a little bit of it's Deshaun's to lose, but we'll see. Munkin isn't saying much.
He hasn't said much, which leads me to believe that this is a fun little race that could be happening once we get to training camp, because he did say at the combine, coming out of minicamp, wouldn't be mad if I could name a starter. Obviously, he didn't do that, so that kind of tells us where things stand. But, yeah, talking to Mary Kay Cabot is going to be awesome at 2:30. And, yeah, it's always fun, man, rocking out with you guys for the next few hours. So let's get to it.
All right, so let's get into this. Has been the summer of Zach Werenski. No one can deny that. It's, as I say on Twitter, or write on Twitter a lot, 'tis the season. This has been his summer. Gold medal. Mm. And the Norris Trophy.
The moment to get to the gold medal.
All of that.
That play lives on forever.
Lives in infamy.
Yes.
And then he becomes a father for the first time, mm-hmm. and he's just had a great summer. Outside of not being in the Memorial Pro-Am, which he told us when we had him on the air during the time that he had some daddy duties. So mm-hmm. he scored a lot of points, first-time father, wasn't going to just whisk off to the golf course for 6-8 hours.
Hey, I gotta go. You know, I gotta go hack it around a little bit.
But it's been, and he's been an epic player for the Jackets. Loyal, maybe to a fault at times, but here he is. Under contract for the next couple of years. Really nothing to worry about. Like, I never really thought about this until they met a couple weeks ago. And when they met a couple weeks ago, I was like, all right, well, that kind of makes sense. And then, so a lot of people outside of hockey wouldn't know the name Elliot Friedman. Elliot Friedman, I would say, is the Schefter of hockey in a lot of ways. There are a couple others, certainly, and a lot of insiders in the NFL. And he's a main insider, Sportsnet, and does a lot with them. And he's the NHL insider. And he was on a hockey show just yesterday, I believe. And he said that, according to several sources he has, that the Jackets are going to meet with Zach, and he said, after the draft to discuss his future with the organization. Now, there's been a lot of whispers and a little bit of smoke around this because, as I say, he's got 2 years left on his current contract. They can extend him. Well, they could extend him as early as next summer. Right around this time next year, July 1st, they can extend him of 2027. But this kind of thing is interesting to me for a couple different ways. One, they just met. Mm-hmm. Big Don was talking about future of the organization, to find out where everybody's head is. It's not like we're winning a lot. They've been very competitive. He's had two epic years. And you start thinking to yourself from both perspectives. Now, from the Jackets' perspective, this is obviously something that if Zach has any hesitation in his future here in Columbus, which he has not intimated publicly or anything to us when he comes on weekly,
right,
that, but we can all do the math. And he is in the prime of his career. How big that window is anybody's guess. And the window here is not exactly always open, right? It's competitive.
That's fair.
But the line is playoffs. The line, it's never been cup.
No.
They don't go into the year thinking, we have the team to win the cup. Mm-mm. It was like, can they take the steps in order to get there? And he knows his next contract is going to be a whopper.
Yeah.
And anywhere else, including here, but anywhere else too. The question you have to ask yourself, if you're him, when does he decide that I can stay here for the bulk of my career and just hope? And I feel like this is the big year. This is the year. And my gut is that they're meeting a couple times this month for a couple of reasons. One is to find out if there's any hesitation at all in his mind. Because if there is, the Jackets are going to be smart and they're going to find out as early as they can. And you're going to create this big buzz, maybe privately, that you could get a bidding war for Z. And in a way, it could get him to where he wants. However, with no movements and stuff like that, it's very difficult to just shop him around. He'd have to waive it. I believe, and I don't have this confirmed, that maybe it goes to a 10-team no trade a year from now in the last year. I'd have to look at that. But as an all-star who is, are you with us long-term? Do you want to be here long-term? And can Don turn around the team to hope to keep him and want him and all that? They want him. But the beef that he would have in my mind is, I've made one run with Torts and Lars and Shazi and Kenny and Danny Singleton. I made that run with that staff.
Yeah.
And guess what I've experienced since then or throughout my career?
Not a lot of good.
A new coach
yep.
after new coach after new coach.
Yeah.
And the current coach is on a one-year deal. So I feel like there's a little smoke. The fire can be put out. That can be extinguished fairly quickly if he's like, I'm good.
I'm good. I'm locked in. I want to run it back. He signed the contract extension a few years ago, but times have changed, right? And the times that we've been unfortunately involved with as Jacket fans is not a lot of highs. This situation for me is mirroring the Myles Garrett situation in Cleveland without the request from the player. That's how it feels to me right now, where you're looking at a team that isn't necessarily in a contending window at the moment, that has a really, really good player, one of the best at his position, if not the best at his position, that's at the peak of his powers. Myles Garrett coming off a defensive player of the year. Z just won the Norris. You can understand from that side of things why you would do it now. I hope it doesn't happen because this guy has been an absolute pillar and a great leader of this team. But on the business side of things, if you come out of the meeting on this weekend, whether it's Saturday or Sunday, whenever that's happening, and there isn't a we feel good about him recommitting to us again, then the serious conversations need to start. Because, and I know he's got 2 years left, so you can play this game again next year. We may be having a similar conversation, but because of the smoke that you're talking about, it seems like something is going on right now behind the scenes to where an Elliot Friedman's coming out publicly and saying or reporting on the situation the way that he is.
And who's real quickly, Maddie, who's motivated to tell Friedman that they're meeting for a second time in a few weeks?
The team, I think.
The team?
You think it's Z?
I mean, my mind would go to...
Z doesn't seem like the type of guy... Yeah. That wants to play these games publicly. He doesn't, to me, talking to him over there, and I could be wrong, but I don't think he's playing, feeding things to media members to keep the smoke alive. Yeah.
I just don't know why anybody would want it out, is my point. There's no real motivation for either side right now. There really isn't.
So who gave it to Elliot, do you think?
I don't know. Why even meet? Who called the second meeting? The team? Zach? His agent? Like, why meet again? Did we not discuss enough a few weeks ago on where the mindset is?
Could it be?
This is like the USA alum are all like, we spent a lot of time together.
Yeah.
Like,
could it be AR that they're already talking numbers? They had a meeting out of the gate and they said, oh,
they
we'll come back.
Can't extend him.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to figure out the why. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense.
No, it makes sense from the Jackets standpoint to call a second meeting if they need some clarification. Maybe they didn't get enough out of him in the first meeting and now we're going into the draft and they want to have all, but they're not meeting him prior to the draft. It'd be after, but teams are, listen, they're not dumb. They want to have time to find out if he's all in. But why meet again? Why wasn't that discussed? And unless the other one was about, hey, congrats on the Norris, this is great, we can't wait to, like, we'll talk soon.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if it was just one of those, like, to be continued meetings. But if you're learning about what your player feels, like, that's why I say, like, a lot of people are tweeting, like, oh, this is a non-story. Don't stick your head in the sand on this. We've heard whispers with Tkachuk. We've heard whispers. Quinn Hughes did this. He did the same with Vancouver. He had a year and a half left, and look what happened. If Zeke can help them out by telling them early, then they'll take that information. And so whether he's committed or can't commit or there's hesitation, you know you can't lose that guy for nothing. Think about what Toronto with Marner.
Yeah.
I mean, that's essentially for not much, and that's a 100-point guy that walked, and they got screwed. Like, that's bad. So
I know they can't.
They need to know.
They need to know. Completely agree, and I know they can't extend him until next year. But if we're Z right now, what is the reason? Why are you extending right now with the team?
You mean having a meeting?
Why would you be in the headspace to want to do that even next year right now when they present that contract extension to you? Because
for the only reasons.
The money.
Well, he's going to get money anywhere. So it really isn't the money. It's that he likes it here. Honestly, it'd be less about hockey in a way. Or he believes in what they're doing. That'd be the other thing.
How strong could that belief be right now is my question.
It doesn't have to be strong as anything today. It probably has to be strong after this season. This is the show me year. That's probably what they're clarifying.
And then you take the risk of, you know, if an unfortunate injury happens or whatever. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like right now, where his stock is around the league is as strong as it could possibly be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I just think this meeting is huge this weekend, obviously, right? And if they don't feel good about it, you trade them. You trade them. I don't think you could take the risk because I think now you get a big time return right now. And so,
well, you can't do that in a week. You got to create a bidding war. These things don't happen. You got to give other teams a chance to get their ducks in a row.
That's fine. Whenever it is.
And make a big offer.
Whenever it is, you just have to do it. You cannot take the risk of this guy.
It would probably be after this year in before the deadline next year. That's my feeling.
And I'd be a little worried about that. Yeah. A little worried about that.
I think that's the way it would come out. But anyway, these whispers could turn into a scream if something weird. And then the other part about this real quickly is, I don't think either party wanted it to be known that there's a second meeting.
So who's snitching?
I don't know. That's what I'm just saying.
We need to find out.
All right. Speaking of hockey, our old coach, who we hardly knew, is back in the game, and he's revising his recent history. You'll hear that next, Rothman.
Think you know Buckeye football? These two say, hold my beer. The Beat with Austin and Berm.
Sponsored by The Waterworks.
Daily on The Fan's YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A beautiful day ahead with mostly sunny skies and temperatures in the low 80s. And then for tonight, partly cloudy overnight with lows in the 60s. We'll have a couple of chances on and off of showers and storms throughout the day on Thursday in the morning and then later on in the day. Otherwise, it'll be breezy and partly sunny with highs in the mid to low 80s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan. Anthony sometimes likes to sit and stare at his bundle of Emmy Awards. Unfortunately, it's through the glass of the pawn shop. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
So we'll see. There's smoke. May not be much. Maybe just one of those little frying pans that didn't get water turned on in the sink. It may not be water, smoke coming from a chimney.
I hope it's a whole bunch of nothing, but I'm not going to be naive to the situation.
No, and the reason you shouldn't is because they just met before the Norris. Why meet again? Like, the vision didn't change in 2 weeks from the team's vantage point.
Right. And so, and an NHL draft, that's not going to move Z that much, I don't think.
No. Well, unless they're using pick 14 and packaging a player and trying to make a big swing for, you know.
I guess, are we a player away? You know what I mean? Like, those are the. If I'm Z, I'm what, 28 years old now?
I'll be 29 in a month or less.
I think it's Miles Garrett again. It's what I think this is. Mm-hmm. A guy that says, looks around and says, I love the city. I love the fan base. I gave it my all. I re-upped with them back in 2021. And I want to be a part of something special. And we were talking during the break. He was a part of something special with Team USA. And I think when you feel that energy and you're like, oh, this is what it's like.
Well, think about the guys. Think about Quinn Hughes. Think about Larkin. Think about Tkachuk. Think about this little USA team alum that had spent all that time together overseas. And
it's no coincidence.
You know, they're not just.
No coincidence. Yeah. Elite players talking to each other. And this is just real talk here. Guys looking at Z and saying, Z, like, what are you doing, brother? What are you doing? And so maybe that did get in his head a little bit. Maybe he was thinking this way already. Maybe this is, like I said, a whole bunch of nothing, and we're going to find out that it is nothing, and he'll be around for years to come, which would be great for all of
us. It can't be a whole bunch of nothing, or they wouldn't be meeting again.
Correct.
It can turn into a whole bunch of nothing after the meeting.
Correct.
But
why again?
Why again?
Somebody feels uneasy about what happened in the first meeting. We just don't know who. My gut is telling me it's the Jackets. They feel uneasy about this because they've got one of the faces of the franchise right now, one of the best players in the entire sport, who's got a few years left in his prime, and he may be in the headspace of, I want to use the best ability that I have left in my gas tank and be a part of a team that's going to do some winning.
Yeah.
And I don't think any of us could blame him for thinking that way, even though it sucks to think about that world without Zach.
It's a business. You got to think this way for the Jackets. You got to know.
Yeah.
And the sooner you know, the better. And the more he can help you out, the better. Honestly.
Yeah.
I don't think they wanted this out there publicly that they're meeting again. And they may be able to tamp it down after the draft if Z has no hesitation. Or if they're going to table this until after this season. And this is the show-me year for them, how they can improve the team and how he's playing at the time or how he feels at the time. And then you're either it's next offseason or into before the trade deadline. Yep. And that's just where I think so they can tamp it down.
Mm-hmm.
Both parties can tamp this down.
They got time.
They probably thought they could meet a little more privately than this, but we'll see. Mm. All right. So Mike Babcock got to a microphone yesterday in Edmonton, and we've talked about him before, and his story here is just, it's almost epic in a way. It's just, I don't want to relive the whole thing, but what I watched yesterday was a guy who, I mean, if I had an ounce of this confidence or arrogance or whatever it is, like, it's unbelievable. Like, there is zero accountability. Now, I know he doesn't want to relive it, but the questions that were asked, and I've been to a lot of press conferences. I've never heard this asked at a press conference in my life. What I mean, not by the question, but the word and the wording, like, it was good, and it was also kind of weird for me to hear. So it's not, I wouldn't call it inappropriate because it wasn't used in a sexual way. It was used in there were a number of different words you could have chosen. Bully, condescending.
Yeah.
And when I heard this, I almost fell off the chair.
Jason Greger, Sports 1440. Mike, you mentioned that it's important for you respect in conversations and closed doors, and you said you talked to the players, and now they got to be full in on Mike Babcock. Well, part of Mike Babcock's history from a lot of former players is at a time you weren't necessarily respectful to them and how you interacted with them. So how can you change that side of you where you can be hard on players but not be a dick?
I think that's a great question.
Oh, he loved it.
I've never heard that word in a press conference. Never heard anyone refer to anybody. Most coaches can be that on occasion. Like, it's not a crime to be that.
That's a great question.
Well, let me tell you, I listened to the whole press conference. He's a smart dude, And every question was asked about his past was, thank you for asking that question. That's a great question. I'm glad you asked that. It's just a way to basically not be defensive,
yeah,
and embrace what it was. But what he walked away. He didn't walk away.
Nah.
John Davidson said publicly, we made a mistake.
Your Uber's ready, Mike Babcock.
We walked away.
Not true.
My wife called me and said, you got to get out of there.
Delusion.
It is delusion. Revisionist history.
Yes.
The game needs him, he feels. Although he did say, I'm great at being retired. And like, yeah, you know, you have a chance to coach the greatest player in the world. I think most coaches would do it, especially him. We thought maybe he wouldn't get another chance.
You know, you posed a question off the top about how certain people in life can have this level of confidence, arrogance, however you want to label it, when they've got sticky past. But I think that arrogance and ego grows even more when you go through those things and you continue to get these type of opportunities. Why would you feel like you need to bend the knee or be humble or do anything? Because you keep getting chance after chance after chance. And to your point, this chance is incredible. Conor McGregor, come on down. Let's do business. McDavid, yeah. I'm sorry. Let's do business. And so that's why I think people are like this, because they've never really had to deal with tons of repercussions or be completely blocked out of the sport. And for Mike Babcock, this is where I think he's wired, and it's going to be interesting to see how that works with McDavid up there. He had to sign off on this. McDavid 100%. Did.
Draisaitl did too.
No doubt.
But Hyman played for him back in Toronto, so maybe he's okay with it. And they want to win.
Yeah, and I think usually, AR, it's, to me, guys that are accomplished or of a certain age or whatever it may be, it's rare that you see drastic changes in who they are. Completely. And so
I don't think he can go to the cell phone trick again. I don't think that.
No. I agree with that, but I don't think he's going to turn into some, hey, yay, good job type of coach all the time. And, you know, patting guys on the back. He's not going to turn into that coach. I think he'll dial it down just a little bit, but I don't think we're getting a completely new Babcock.
I'll tell you what, like somewhere in the, like maybe top of the hour, I want to play you another soundbite about why he left Columbus and just how ridiculous it sounds on what he said. And I'm not telling you he can't coach. He can. He hasn't won a round since 2013. So let's not make him the greatest hockey coach that ever lived. Give him the Olympics. Loaded Canadian team. That's fine. Maybe a lot of guys could have won with them. But in Detroit, he was loaded. Loaded. Datsyuk, Zetterberg, Lidstrom, you name it. Every year, he had one cup. A lot of people think he underachieved there. So he's smart. He's almost too smart because he plays games with players he doesn't have to. And it got him here, but look what happened. The league and sports don't change. Veteran coach, he's won before. We're Edmonton. We've been close. We were almost way too close to get rid of our coach. It's not like Edmonton's been nothing. And maybe they feel he's the one that can get him over the top. And they don't care about PR. And they sidestepped it, and he sidestepped it yesterday to critical acclaim. I give the reporters a lot of credit. They did what they could, but they never got down to brass tacks. You know, they asked him if he felt he crossed the line. There are a lot of people out there that know he did. And there weren't a lot of answers, but it was a while ago now for him, and he was able to kind of emotionally step away from it. But I'll play that one for you later on in the show. We'll take a break. We'll come back in 2 minutes with our friend Adam Schefter. We'll get you all the inside scoop in the NFL next. Rothman and Ice.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
NFL Playbook with ESPN's Adam Schefter.
Sponsored by the Roofing Guys. For all your roofing, siding, and gutter needs, contact the Roofing Guys at theroofingguys.com.
All right, he's our guy, the senior NFL insider for ESPN, the one and only Adam Schefter. And he's with us now on the Brian Heating and Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. My man, how we feeling?
What is going on, gentlemen?
The Sorsby saga is going on. So he will not play in the NFL this year. So I guess, let me ask it this way. I know supplemental drafts are rare, Schefty. But like maybe a couple weeks ago, I wasn't in the mindset that I knew they had a chance to not approve it, but I didn't really go all the way there. Did you feel like this could tip this way, or were you more on the camp like we were, which is, oh, what team might bid for him and how much would they bid for him? I thought this was a minor upset. Did you?
Well, let me say this, that I think every time that I have appeared anywhere about this, I kept saying, like, if there is a supplemental draft, if this happens, because Roger Goodell needs to sign off on it, and he hasn't done it. And I kept saying that because every time I spoke to somebody in the league office, I never got a sense of commitment to the draft. I never got an answer on when it would be. They were very vague and ambiguous on a potential day. I'm like, when's the day? Oh, we have to decide if there's going to be a draft for it. Like, what do you mean decide? Well, Roger Goodell's got to, like, it just, it was weird. Now, again, I if I'm being honest, I thought, well, Roger Goodell will wind up approving it, but I'm not terribly shocked that he didn't. Does that make sense?
It does.
Based on what I heard?
It does, based on the violation and
my
what
interaction.
Yeah, and
my
your
interactions. My interactions with the league were such that I could just tell something was up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I could just tell.
Yeah, it sounded like it was almost too up in the air. And I, the other part about it, though, is they could have let him in, and they could have tacked on, made sure that any team bidding on him knew that he was going to be suspended for a while, and they'd be dealing with that. And they could have just, that could have been his penalty, but I think they were just so afraid at the perception of a guy that gambled on games. And it was just the one, because they've let other guys in that have done some bad things or broken different kinds of rules, but this is the one they felt.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But let me say this, absolutely. And I, you know, I don't need to go through who got in, who didn't, what the, but I will just say this in regards to this particular case. The league has no tolerance for integrity of the game issues and gambling. Now you say, oh, that's hypocritical. The league's got gambling partnerships. Yes, they do. Absolutely. And they make money off these gambling sites and fantasy sites. But players, in their eyes, are not allowed to make bets, especially on their own team. So when Brendan Sorsby, 8 days ago, applied for the NFL supplemental, it's very easy for them to say, well, why should we rush to go review his application, study what he did and didn't do, and he admitted to betting on his team. We're not doing this guy any favors, and we're not doing anybody any favors when you've admitted that you bet on your own team. And so I honestly just think it was the league just sending a message. We don't really care that you're sitting out football this year. That's your problem, not ours. You're the one who bet. Too bad. We'll possibly, their word, possibly, see you in April.
So, Shefty, now that we know the supplemental draft isn't happening and he's going to be essentially on the sidelines for a whole year, when he is eligible to enter next year's draft, because of the time off, is that going to absolve him of any penalty from the league?
I don't know. I think it's too early to answer that. I mean, I don't know what the league will find. I don't know what's going to happen between now and then. I don't know how he's going to behave. I don't know whether, how he's going to spend his year. Like, there's a lot of variables that go into figuring out whether or not Brendan Sorsby would be disciplined when, if and when he's drafted in April 2027. I just don't know the answer to that.
Okay. So let's go down to Atlanta, because it looks like the Falcons are doing some business. Fill us in on the details about Kyle Pitts and the new deal he got. And what does this mean for Bijan Robinson?
Yeah, 3 years, $54 million, $36 million guaranteed. Makes him the third highest paid tight end in the game on average. And so now we've seen the Falcons this offseason go out and re-sign Kyle Pitts. We've seen them go out and re-sign Drake London to a four-year, $141 million extension. They've got a couple of other candidates on their list. Matt Bergeron, their offensive tackle. Bijan Robinson. And with the London and Pitts deals out of the way, they could proceed on and go work on those other deals to come up with long-term extensions for them.
The other one, you know, we talk about Cleveland a lot here, certainly, and they're interesting to us, and they've got a lot of fans even here in Columbus. And even though they traded away Myles Garrett, we had talked about, you know, would they go all in and maybe shop Denzel Ward? He's got 2 years left on his five-year extension, but he has no more guaranteed money. He didn't participate in mandatory minicamp, so what do you think?
Well, I didn't know anything about this until you just asked me. So my immediate reaction when I hear that, the fact that he didn't participate in mandatory minicamp is he's trying to get them to sweeten the pot. He probably feels like you trade away Myles Garrett. You say you want me around here. How do we want to handle it? So, I'm sure he's angling to get more money. And that's kind of where it's at.
So, Shefty, there was a Cleveland radio host that threw out the other day that he's hearing that some teams could be interested in Shedeur Sanders and trying to acquire him. Are you hearing any of that right now?
I have zero evidence that they're shopping Shedeur Sanders. Zero.
What about teams calling them for him?
I don't even know that that's happened. I'd be a little surprised. And I'm not. I spoke with someone in the organization this week. I'm like, what? Any truth about you're open on Shedeur? And they're like, no. I'm like, okay. Well, so I don't know what to say. I don't know how you want to interpret it.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird to hear because I don't think that'd be a smart move. They just got him. They didn't spend a lot of draft capital on him, and they don't even know whether he's the long term answer or not. They don't even know if they have a long term answer at quarterback. And I don't know. I think they want to see what could come of this. By the way, who's making them a big offer for him after exactly. What we've seen yet? I don't even know. Maybe they wouldn't want a big offer. Maybe they just want, but even if that happened, I don't even know. You know what that would tell me if they did that? It would tell me that they are all in 2027, that they want to win the fewest amount of games they can this year. Let Deshaun just play out whatever his contract is and then leave. And then they start again in 2027. That's what it would tell me, but I don't think there's any market for him right now. I could be wrong, but it doesn't feel like there'd be a market for him.
By the way, teams passed out on doing the draft, right?
Right.
So what team all of a sudden has buyer's remorse and is going to go out and give you a pick that's worth the Browns move? I don't see it right now. It's early.
Yeah. Shefty, what caught my eye, outside of Taylor Swift making an appearance at tight end university was George Kittle out there on the field moving around pretty well. Coming off the Achilles injury, how's Kittle and the Niners feeling about his recovery? Is he going to be ready to go early on in the season, maybe even week one?
It certainly seems like he's got a chance. We'll obviously see how he feels during training camp, what they decide to do with him, how they handle the injury. I think he's going to have a chance. I don't know whether he's going to be ready or not. I haven't heard that officially, but it sounds like he's doing everything he can to be out there that day.
We talked about the Bengals and their defense and improving, and Burrow, maybe you heard this, maybe you were gone. He kind of gave us, wasn't even subtle. He's like, did he say we're going to win the Super Bowl or we're going to the Super Bowl?
He alluded to them being as good as the 2019 LSU team who we know won the Natty.
Is that around the people you talk to in NFL circles, do they feel the Bengals have improved their defense enough to be worthy of having a competent enough unit defensively added with this offense to make a big run this year?
I think that's definitely the case. I mean, they went out and added a lot of defensive talent. They went out and added, by my count, it looks like it could be, 8 new defensive starters. So it's almost a whole new defense that you're talking about. And we know the offense is not going to be an issue. If they are healthy, the offense will be formidable and dangerous. And the schedule is as soft as it could be. So if Joe Burrow's healthy, and the defense is better, I don't know why they couldn't make a run. I don't know how far it'll go. I wouldn't be shocked if it were a Bengals-Rams rematch in the Super Bowl at SoFi Stadium. I could see that happening. That wouldn't shock me.
Yeah. Well, the thing about the Bengals is they've missed the playoffs 3 years in a row, so people have kind of forgotten. I don't know if you ever fly under the radar with Joe Burrow, but they are a little bit. And no one really believes in their defense. And on paper, they've absolutely improved their defense. But now we got to see it in action. But I think they're one of the most intriguing teams this year. I really do. And I don't say that just because we're here in Ohio. How many wins did they have last year? They didn't have much. They were a team that certainly is going to get the benefit of the schedule you're talking about. They were 6-11 last year. People have forgotten about them. And I think that's their big weapon, and he decided not to use that weapon. He just threw it out there at a press conference and said, hey, look at us. We're still here. That's Joe Burrow, man.
Yeah. Listen, he's a confident guy. They're a good team. They're in a good spot. They're going to have a chance, I believe, this year. Yeah. We'll see how it works out.
I'm with you. All right, brother. Appreciate your time and insight. As always, we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too. That's our guy, Adam Schefter, senior NFL insider for ESPN on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, we come back, and Bruce Almighty, will he hear his name called? We'll give you a little NBA draft primer coming up next. Rothman.
If only there was a radio show that constantly talked about Ohio State athletics. Well, good news. It's real, baby. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Buckeyes. The Fan. Ohio's sports destination. All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan. Ohio sports destination. Matty promises he'll continue to do the show even if he wins the lottery. If only we believed him. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
All right, so everyone got an A last night in the NBA draft, it felt like. Like, I've seen all this analysis on, like, every pick was great. I don't know if that's actually possible, but it was a very deep draft. It was a fashion show as usual. And watching the parents have to go sit in that little luxury lounge on a low couch, because a lot of the parents, surprise, surprise, are tall. It's a basketball draft.
Even some of the moms.
Can we get them into a little more comfortable situation?
That low rider?
The German kid, I don't know. What was his name? I don't know. Anyway, the guy whose dad, he was friends with Dirk Nowitzki.
Yeah.
And then Dirk sent him a congratulations. After they were done with the interview, the Fajag tries to get up from this low couch.
Struggle, man.
Nearly falls over.
It was a struggle. That was bad. Like, the idea was
too low. You don't put him on a couch like that. It's so low.
The set looked nice, but the couch, they'll
Lisa
learn.
Lisa Salters is sitting on her little...
Perfect for
love
her.
Love seat, and then we've got the parents, and then the sister has to sit on the arm of the couch, or with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
It just wasn't conducive. I know what they were trying
better.
To do.
It's a teachable moment. Yeah. Teachable moment.
Let's all get back in the living room where it all started. Anyway, it was good. Bruce Thornton. What are the odds he's going to get his name called tonight?
Man.
What would you put it at?
Where are you at?
60%?
I was going to go 70.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to go 70. It wasn't a shock to me, AR, to not hear his name called in the first round. With even though he's obviously so accomplished at this level, all-time leading scorer, we know what time it is when we talk about Bruce Thornton as a player. But as far as his ceiling in the NBA, he is a smaller guard, right? That doesn't have elite athleticism or quickness or jumping skills or any of that.
Have an elite shot.
Right. And so all of that to me kind of screams second round pick. Doesn't mean that the guy can't be a contributor and a valuable piece to somebody in the NBA. Mm-hmm. But I wasn't surprised going to bed last night, AR, that he didn't hear his name called, especially in a draft that is supposed to be one of the better ones that we've seen in a while.
Yeah. I think the odds are he'll get drafted.
Yeah.
And he's one of those players that certainly, even though he's not tall, can physically match up. He's a pretty strong kid. And I feel like somewhere in the, I don't know, where would you put it? The 40s? I don't know. It's, would it be like between 50 and 60? I don't know. But if he goes undrafted, it's not the worst thing ever. We've heard about it. You know, you start to talk to other teams that you worked out with before the draft. And then all of a sudden you can sign with a team where the opportunity may be better than even the team that drafted you. Now, the team that drafted you clearly would believe in you, but sometimes when you get to pick and choose where you can make your way as a role player in the NBA, it might be just as advantageous to be undrafted.
There's no doubt. The hope is for Bruce that teams look at his experience and they say he can help us right now. So I'm hoping that he gets to hop on a moving train with a team that's in the mix, because I do think, based off of his experience and having the ball in his hands so much, that he could stumble into a situation, I don't know, like Minnesota or Houston or some of these teams that have been knocking on the door in the Western Conference and be a role player for them right away. I do think he can do that. I don't see him being a starter in the league. That's, to me, would be a shock. But having him as a sixth, seventh, eighth man in your rotation, I think he can carve out a role in the NBA doing that. And I think he can do it fairly quickly.
It's got a couple things that you can't coach, good and bad. Can't coach the shot necessarily, and it's a good one. And you can't coach height, and you can't coach speed.
Yeah.
And he doesn't have those. And that's tough in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Even the bigs are quick. And it's now he's 220 plus pounds.
Yeah.
So he's physical and can handle himself in the pros. It's just he needs to find a spot where you get an elite shooter and a guy who has been around, who's got experience. And so that's where I would see him trying to thrive in the NBA.
And because of his size, like we've seen, like Jalen Brunson's even 6'2"-ish, and he looks tiny out there. And you look at how the Knicks were constructed, right? There's length and athleticism all around Jalen Brunson to kind of make up for that, right? Whether it's OG Anunoby or Mikal Bridges, obviously Cat and all the bigs down low. But that's the kind of situation that those guys can thrive in. So hopefully he can find that situation, because at that size, unfortunately, he's just going to be hunted on defense. And when you are only 6'3", 6'4", you can't run and hide, and they're going to find you. And so can he cook up enough defensive chops to show his NBA coach that you can trust me out here, even though I'm going to be a guy that's probably going to be putting a ton of pick and rolls and a bunch of actions to show if he can hold up? Because a lot of guys are going to look at Bruce, unfortunately, and think, I can probably just shoot over this guy. That's the scary part about the defensive end for him.
The interesting thing would be is if you're Bruce Thornton and it gets late in the second round and you're not drafted, you haven't been drafted yet, would you try to get it out there that you wouldn't want to be? Because, and I'm just looking at this, I'm not comparing him to Austin Reeves, but if you see the contract, he's going to sign a four-year, $185 million contract.
Yeah.
Like,
no difference.
That's the largest contract, richest contract, in NBA history for a guy that wasn't drafted.
It's really a wild story.
It's a great story, actually. But you don't have... Now, he's one of one in a way here.
He's a pure bucket getter that's also 6'5".
That's right. But if I'm Bruce and I'm getting late in that second round and it's not, and it doesn't line up with a team that I worked out for, that wants me, that feels like this is the role, we want you, I'm getting it out there. I'm good. Don't draft me. I don't want to be pigeonholed into one team. I want to be undrafted, and then I want to be able to
call
my own shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We'll keep an eye on that tonight in the second round of the draft. We'll come back top of the hour. And we mentioned this earlier, is this Deshaun's job to lose? One former great player says it is. You'll hear it next. Rothman.com.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. 73 days from now, Ohio State football kicks off against Ball State from Ohio Stadium September 5th. 35 days from now, head coach Ryan Day, quarterback Julian Sand, receiver Jeremiah Smith, and safety Jalen McClain will represent the Buckeyes at Big Ten Football Media Days July 29th in Chicago. Earlier today, EA Sports announced Smith as the first ever 99 overall rated athlete in the 33-year history of the franchise. Baseball, Guardians visit the White Sox at 2:10, trailing Chicago by a game out of first in the AL Central. While the Reds host the Brewers tonight at 7:10, Milwaukee's Shane Tron faces Cincinnati's Rhett Lauder. This update's sponsored by RCDRV Supercenter in Heath, Delaware, and Pataskala, or at rcdrv.com. Coming up on Rothman and Ice, Brian Hedger, the Columbus Dispatch, talks Blue Jackets at 1:30 right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
You're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1 The Fan!
Hoo-ah! All right, here we go. Second hour, Rothman and Ice. Brian Hedger, CBJ beat reporter, 1:30. get his feeling on the meeting part due between Big Don and Z. Post-draft, we'll see.
I need to ask Hedge, who's snitching? Who's snitching? How did this get out?
About the second meeting?
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, I mean, you got a feeling the Jackets maybe wanted to meet again. Maybe they didn't get a great, perfect, everything they needed to know out of the first one. You just want to get a sense of, is there any hesitation? If there is, let's get all our cards on the table. Like, Zach, you do right by us. We'll, of course, do right by you. Like, he's got to know movement, so, you know, he's going to have to let them know. Or they just kind of, he gives them a, hey, this is a show me year. See what kind of moves you can make. We're good for this year. Let's revisit this a year from now and see where the team stands. By the way, who's going to be coaching me again?
Fair question.
Like, I got to, like, honestly, there are things in the air for him. And you can see he's been a loyal guy, he's been a great player. And you can see it from their point of view that they'd like to know as soon as possible if he's not all in on thinking that he would sign next year. And then that would give them a chance to, you know, beef up some bidding for him.
That's, to so me, I think, the favorite on the board at the moment. Is that we just run back this conversation all this a year from now. That, to me, is the favorite on the board at the moment. And then after that is the scenario nobody wants. Is that they move on.
Well, at that point, we'll have to see what the team looks like.
Yeah.
You know, because as much as you want to keep the player and the guy, you know, it is a business. Mm-hmm. And and it's results-based. Yeah. All right, so the Mike Babcock thing real fast. I want to get back to this because we promised I'd do it at the top of the hour. And I like to honor my commitments.
An honorable man, Anthony
Ruff. Edmonton Oilers had an introductory press conference after officially hiring Mike Babcock. And it went just as a lot of people expected. There are deep concerns about this hire. He's got a very weird past, especially with us. He infamously resigned, air quotes, from the job here after what was pretty much deemed by the brass with the Jackets as misconduct. And they immediately declared that he doesn't think he did anything wrong here. And he's kind of absolved himself of any blame, which is on brand. But instead, he kind of threw the burden of this quick ripcord out of Columbus, which came before he even coached a game, in a weird way, onto his wife. Like, and I think we have this soundbite. I'm not positive this one is it.
I don't think this is the wife angle, but the one I'm about to play you in just a second here is the media tease him up for this, though. And so you'll hear it at the very beginning.
All right.
Mike, what happened in Columbus and why did you choose to walk away?
Well, I chose to walk away really straightforward. And I appreciate the question here. It was very evident before the year started. I hadn't benched anybody. I hadn't talked to anybody. I hadn't sat anybody out. And it was evident that we weren't together as a staff right from the get-go. My wife gave me a call, and she said, it's time to get out of there. I had been retired. I was pretty good at it. I got back to being retired.
So, Mike, the reporting that's out there has been about you looking through players' cell phones, asking them to share photos and such. Like, at any point, Mike, do you feel you stepped over the line with the way you handled that situation? And is there anything else that maybe we haven't heard about that happened there that resulted in you walking away?
No, to be honest with you, anytime you make anybody feel uncomfortable in your life, you should take a look at yourself and you should say, how could I do that better? And I think that's what you do as a person, is you try to always be better at what you do. The situation in Columbus, they've had a full review, and I'm thankful to NHL and NHLP for doing that. It didn't work out for us. We're excited about making it work.
My goodness. I mean,
My wife gave me a call and said it's time to get out of there.
I stand corrected on that one.
Almost, you're good. They don't deserve you.
Come on, man.
That's the part he forgot to add. That my wife called me and said they don't deserve you. That's how he made it sound. Like, he almost made it sound like I don't need this. You know what my gut is? He came in and completely alienated everybody immediately. Mm-hmm. He went right back to his old bag of tricks. I'm Mike Babcock, and I have a cup and you don't.
Bend the knee.
And that's right.
Yeah. Bend the knee. I'm the guy. Whatever I say goes.
And I think he alienated probably his staff. I don't know this is a fact, but I can't imagine that, you know, the leopard changed his spots. Yeah, I just can't believe this. And I feel like that he kind of went, and by the way, dropping the line of, I was pretty good at being retired and I'll just go back. I don't need this. Like, they're not ready to be coached hard. Like, that's how it came off to me. Like, I got to Columbus and
they're soft.
The NHL did their due diligence and I'm happy they did. By the way, thanks for asking that question. That's a great question.
Crazy.
Because I still don't know what the hell happened there. I was ready to coach a team. Yeah. And guess what? They didn't have their act together.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just go back to being retired. I'm pretty good at that. And that's how it came off.
Yeah.
And that's fine. He basically, I mean, the follow-up to the follow-up is, okay, so it sounds like you did look in the mirror. It sounds like you did have a little self-examination.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you did think, okay, maybe I did make some people uncomfortable. What did you learn from that?
Yeah.
What are you not going to be doing again? Now, I didn't expect him to answer the last one, which is, oh, by the way, is there anything else that happened there that you would love to tell us about? Please.
Come on.
Like
he's going to snitch on himself and say, oh, well, yeah, I did this wrong, too. And no.
No, the only thing that he was going to volunteer is more on how they weren't ready for me.
Yeah, the whole thing, and I'll never forget when we were working our way through that story and you had, what was it, Spit and Chicklets podcast. They really got the ball rolling a little bit more, former players on that
Witt
thing.
Biz.
No doubt,
Commodores
right?
all over it.
100%. Right, 100% AR. And then it was just a complete invasion of privacy to me and just the way it was framed, right? On the outside looking in, like, come on in, show me your phone, blah, blah, blah. We're going like,
plug it in.
It never connected to me as the why in that for a coach. I never understood. You can get to know a player, a coworker, whoever it is, but in that position, a player, without having to do that.
It's an old school personality test in a way. And
but it can be old school personality to me, AR, isn't that. Like there's certain old school things I love and I think are appropriate in certain situations. That to me was just a swing of the sword and a swing of I'm going to show my display of power here in the situation. And that whatever I want you to do as a player, you're going to do whether you like it or not. That's how it hit me at the time. Didn't love it. I'm glad those guys stood up for themselves and hopefully and said some things, which I'm sure happened because I'm sure some guys were like, what is going on here? This is the guy you're bringing in. And it didn't work out. And so I'm kind of glad it didn't because he doesn't seem like a guy that I would have probably enjoyed covering, honestly.
You didn't want to be driving the Zamboni for Babcock, Matty?
Nah. You know I want to do that and be the mascot, but if he offered it to me, I'd probably have turned it down.
Mm-hmm.
Can't be doing That's our right. guys like that. You know,
I'm pretty good at doing radio. I'll just go back to that.
Do you know what's in people's phones, they are in their photos library?
You know, I was thinking about that for a second, and
You can't be asking to see those things.
I mean, you know, I've got golf, cars, animals.
What's the
There's a pie.
What's that?
There's a Ryan Baker's dad's pie.
Shout out to Bake Show's dad.
The BlackBerry AR97.1 baked into the crust.
So you've got an innocent photo log there.
There may be something in there that I probably wouldn't.
I'm just
going to
say there's certain people.
I don't think
that. You know, screenshots, videos, whatever it
is. Some like clips from movies that I've sent to my friends that maybe I wouldn't want.
Some people are into sending
those kinds of movies.
Debbie Does Dallas?
Not.
Okay. I'm scared to ask what that is.
I've just heard of it. I've never watched it.
I've just heard of it.
So I'm just gonna roll with it.
Great.
I've heard of it.
I'm
rolling with it.
I'm just heard of it.
But
I'm looking forward to seeing it one day. But I haven't.
There are people that like to, send tasteful pictures back and forth.
Some tasteful nudes
to their partners, whoever it may be.
The operative word here is tasteful. We don't want you to do anything you're uncomfortable with. He got some strong pecs, but it's tough to see under that shirt. Should I take it off? I don't know.
So that's why you don't ask to go through people's phones. You leave that alone.
Well, it could have gone full Herb Brooks. You know, I want the guy who wouldn't let me look in his phone. All right, fine. You want to look at my phone? No, I want the guy who wouldn't let me look in the phone. Like, honestly, it's he's a smart hockey guy. Like I said, he probably is maybe a little over praised about hockey in the fact that maybe he should have accomplished more, but he is just a coach.
Is he Mike McCarthy?
Great.
Without all the other stuff we just mentioned.
What does he have, one Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Would you say that McCarthy's had loaded teams, though, for years?
No, I feel like you're using Mike McCarthy's name as an insult in that scenario, and I'm like, no. Excellent. I have a lot to look forward to.
McCarthy had as much talent as Babcock had.
My mind was just the opportunities, right? Yeah. When you reach the top of the mountain. Teams?
Green Bay, Dallas, and Pittsburgh?
I'm just saying, like, he continues to get opportunities.
Dallas again?
And I think when you get to the top of the mountain.
Dallas seems to be a very... a theme for this segment. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, when you get to the top of the mountain, we see guys get opportunities like this. And I think that's why Mike McCarthy is still in the mix and probably at the top of some list, because you look around the landscape of the coaching world and you're like, oh, this guy's won a Super Bowl. He knows what he's doing. Let's bring him in. He can, you know, find that old magic again. Won't be surprised if that's the thinking when it comes to Mike Babcock in NHL circles.
Yeah, I don't know if he does Dallas the musical.
Are you Googling this at work?
I haven't clicked enter. Nice. I'm in my Wikipedia search bar. I haven't clicked enter, so it won't register.
He hasn't clicked enter.
Very proud of you. That's very nice. Right,
well done. That's savvy. Savvy move. Listen, I think this game wasn't crying to have Mike Babcock back in it.
Right.
I don't know if anyone's saying the game's better with him in it, but he's here. He's accomplished things.
And when you
he's got the greatest player in the world. On skates.
That's why. I think that's another part of this. This guy's been to the top of the mountain, Babcock.
Yeah.
We've got a guy that can take us there with his skill set.
They've been so close, though, man. They were in a game seven. It's not like Edmonton's been massively underachieving.
They feel like Babcock can put him over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back with ins and outs. Rothman and
Netza. Bo Bishop and Dom Taberry. Dom remembers when Bo was a young whippersnapper. And Bo remembers when Dom wasn't part ape.
And then Yolanda one time wanted to wax my knuckles.
Tuesdays with Taberry.
Sponsored by Green & Sons.
Tuesdays at 10:30 on The Fan. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A beautiful day ahead with mostly sunny skies and temperatures in the low 80s. And then for tonight, partly cloudy overnight with lows in the 60s. We'll have a couple of chances on and off of showers and storms throughout the day on Thursday in the morning and then later on in the day. Otherwise, it'll be breezy and partly sunny with highs in the mid to low 80s. For The Fan, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garfalo with the 10 Weather Impact Forecast.
1, 2, 3!
Here in The Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan. Rothman and Ice present In or Out.
Just literally old In and Out.
All right, a little bit of the old In and Out. What do you got, TLC?
All right, are you in or out on taking onion rings over French fries when presented with the opportunity at a restaurant?
Not anymore.
What?
I was if you asked me this as a kid, I think I would have said yes.
Oh, is this a Chops kid food?
Let me ask you
guys. No, I don't know if it really is. I don't have a real,
What type of fries are the onion rings competing with? Are we talking shoestrings, crinkles? Like, because that to me matters as well. I would take onion rings over shoestrings,
yes.
But crinkle cut fries over onion rings all day and tomorrow. That's where I'm at.
It's close.
Are shoestrings like the steak and shake fries?
Yeah, like McDonald's steak and shake type vibe.
Well, the shoestring to me is like even worse than that. I wouldn't even view McDonald's as shoestring.
Steak and Shake is more shoestring than McDonald's is, yeah.
Shoestrings are like a box of matches. I mean, it's like, I don't...
When I went to Steak and Shake...
You gotta eat them with a fork.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. We used to go all the time, like in Pickerington at the movie theater right there. That's kind of attached to the Steak and Shake in the same parking lot. I would eat my cheese fries with a fork.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt like I needed like 10 fries in my hand to equate to like... 2 normal fries.
Yeah.
They tasted fine, but
they're
I just
not
felt like,
long enough either.
Yeah. Onion rings. I like an onion ring.
Yeah, the right onion ring.
You just go straight ketchup. You need like a special sauce for that, like a sriracha, aioli with your onion rings. Ketchup's good with me.
There's a scene at the end of The Sopranos where they're sitting at the diner and he ordered onion rings for the table. And what I noticed from that scene, amongst a million other things, is they all eat their onion rings as they're small enough. Uh-huh. You know, some onion rings are big and you have to chew into them.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the whole onion comes out. And it's honestly bad. It's a bad experience.
I agree with that.
But if they're small enough, it pop the whole thing in your mouth and you're done. Good. Take one dip and end it.
Yeah, yeah.
In The Sopranos, that's what they're all doing.
Okay.
Popping them in. Nobody bites into an onion ring. And when I've never really eaten an onion ring that way. I've only eaten an onion ring where you bite into it. I don't think I've ever eaten one where you throw the whole thing.
I'm sure there's a chef or restaurants that have mastered what you just said and have avoided that problem.
The certain diameter of the onion ring?
Where the onion ring just doesn't slip up out of there, right? Like it stays with the batter. I'm sure somebody's figured it out. An onion ring on a burger is always a good time, too. Always a good time on the burger.
Done the grilled onion on a burger, but never the onion ring.
That's a win.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an onion guy, AR.
Not too much, though.
I don't know, man.
Grilled onion on a burger, and then it's like come, and it's just.
I don't know. I'll never really complain about onions.
Too much?
Not really for me.
Raw onion?
I like a raw diced onion on my hot dog.
Okay.
On my burger, put that baby on the grill, a little bit of fry that onion for me, and then I'm ready to cook or eat. I guess you do the cooking. What's next, TLC?
Are you in or out on being a top 5 pick in the NBA is better than being a top 5 pick in the NFL?
What position am I playing in the NFL?
Non-quarterback.
I probably want to be in the NBA. Yeah. I probably want to be in the NBA.
Feels like longevity-wise.
I was going to say not putting my body on the line.
Top five salary-wise, you're not really losing out either way. DePants is going to make $10 million more than Mendoza.
Yeah. And I think they're more marketable for whatever. The NBA guys.
They're not wearing a helmet.
Yeah.
And their career should be longer.
Mm-hmm.
There aren't that as many positions.
Right.
Rosters are smaller.
Yeah, I'm going NBA.
But you're warm in the winter, cool in the summer. Never working outside, except if you're working out. But
You get summers off.
Yeah.
You know, football guys got mini camps, OTAs, training camp. The NBA guys, they're kicking it for the next few months.
I mean, unless you're just the football is the dream of all dreams, I think NBA is where it's at.
Will Urban Meyer be enshrined into the Ohio State Ring of Honor despite his controversial exit as head coach?
Of course.
No doubt.
It's not even a question.
Yep. That's a lot,
TLC. I don't know.
He's a shoo-in.
I mean, yes. I don't think.
Because the noise on him not being there would become so loud in time. So.
Yeah. I don't even know what you're keeping him out for. The stuff from the NFL?
I don't think they're going to care. I don't think they'll care about that over
there. Obviously, the stuff here with Zach, but I don't even know
what
that
was about. The number 7. And, you know.
Yeah, and the 0 next to it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And all the other winning that came along with it. So I think TLC, I think that'll be the focus.
Not even a question.
Is that, yeah.
Are you in or out on either pulling a pitcher or pulling a hitter mid at bat?
You know what? There was a coach that did this to us the other day, and it pissed me off. Because we were getting close to the time limit of the game. And they were making some type of comeback, but they weren't going to win the game. And he made a pitching change with 2 outs to try to buy them more time. And it was like 5 minutes left on the clock. And I was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? So that kind of pissed me off.
It was completely
and we did a little chirping. It was legal, but it was just unnecessary.
Did you just say, and we did a little bit of chirping?
Yeah, yeah. They had to hear about that. Yeah, I was at first base letting them know. Like, I know what you guys are doing, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
That was the first time, you know, I've kind of gotten going a little bit. this year. I'll stay in the clear this weekend. Okay. I promise at our next tournament. But that
you got a little AR at Memorial.
Yeah, I was trying to protect my guys a little bit. Some funky stuff going on. I'm like, we're not having it.
What do you think you're doing trying to interview Scottie Scheffler?
No, that's not what I was talking about.
Oh, I thought that's what you were talking about.
So sorry. I was with Maddie and J. Lou and my boy SK.
Oh, yeah.
We got a little emotional. Yeah, I get it.
AR.
I don't love it in general, but I feel like you could always fake an injury.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That'll get the change. Mm-hmm. Like my arm. It's broken. Like my arm. Like you could do that. I don't like, to me, pulling a batter in the middle of an at bat. What?
I think that's very rare.
It should be a legit injury.
Correct.
My cousin came up with a good idea. If you're down by one, down to your last, actually, not just down to your last out, but down to your last strike. So you're down by one, you got a power hitter at the plate, but one of those like Kyle Schwarber types where it's like home run or nothing. You give him the first two strikes, and if he gets the two strikes, you sub him out for a contact hitter on the bench.
Mm-hmm. Let's get some bat on ball.
All right, we got one strike left. Just get on base.
Oh, man. I'm not a favor of that. But the pitching side of things is just, it drives me nuts. Drives me nuts when I see it.
See, it's
not a fan.
I'm not saying it's popular, but it's not unheard of anymore.
It's not unheard of. I'm just not a fan.
See, that it strikes me weird that you got upset about it just because, I mean, obviously you got upset about it because you thought it was going to affect your team negatively. But what? You're usually not like that. You're usually more of like, hey, let them do what they want to do. It's not going to affect us.
It was just so bush league to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're in it, you're in it, right? And then like you start to care about these kids and all that. And we're about to win the game. And I'm just like, what are you doing? Get out of here. Go back to your dugout. He was doing some stuff pregame, too, that kind of ticked me off. So the ball was kind of rolling a little bit on this, and that kind of pushed me over the top. But I have not been thrown out of a game yet. I haven't been thrown out of a game yet.
Is it a goal?
It's not a goal, but I've had to catch myself the last couple of weeks to tell, hey, chill out.
There's only one word you can't say to an umpire.
I think there's
thanks, Bull Durham.
I think at this level, there's probably a little bit more coaching 15-year-olds.
Yeah.
And the major leagues, I think they have more rope.
You know what word you can't say to an umpire? You. Once you say that, it gets a little bit personal and you're gone.
I promise you guys, if I do get thrown out of a game, I'm getting my money's worth. I'm kicking the dirt on home plate. I might take the base with me. Like, I'm just going all in. If I'm going to get thrown out,
Lloyd McClendon,
I'm getting thrown out. I can't just, it can't be something subtle.
Should there be any coming back in when they say there was too much pine tar on the bat? Everyone's got to hold back Matty Ice.
That's one of the best images in baseball history is him sprinting out of the dugout and trying to get after the umpire.
That was a man with bad intentions,
No doubt it was. But, AR, if I get thrown out of a game, you're going to be proud of me because I'm going to get my money's worth.
I just don't want it to affect you.
A weekend suspension.
Yeah, I don't want it to lead into more. Maybe
going to affect
reprimanded by the league.
It'll be a calculated ejection on my part. I will never put myself before the squad. Never.
If you go back and watch the George Brett, though, like Tim McClellan doesn't even move. Like he's not afraid that Brett's going to like tackle him or hit him. He didn't move.
About that action, boss.
Yeah, I would have been afraid.
That ump, he did not even move.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get with Brian Hedger here in 2 minutes and find out. And maybe the first thing we need to find out is if he believes there is truly a second meeting. Rothman,
for you.
Rothman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door Showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Anthony's hidden talent is weaving a movie quote into every conversation. It's mostly not annoying. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Oh, a lot going on in the CBJ world. And our guy, Brian Hedger, one of the best at the Dispatch, covering the team. A lot going on with the draft coming up this weekend, Friday and Saturday, and he's with us now on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Hedge, how you been?
Been good. Things are getting busy, heating up.
Mm-hmm. So where is this second supposed meeting between Don Waddell and Zach Greinke on your radar? A, is this... Because I'll ask it just point blank. Did they met a few weeks ago, right? Don talked about, or a couple weeks ago. after the Norris or right around there to find out, you know, the vision of the organization and the future. And he said all the right things. And now all of a sudden, out of the blue, there's a report there's going to be a second meeting. You believe that to be true? And if so, why a second meeting?
Well, first we'll start with the first one. When I talked to Don recently, he said that he had breakfast with Zach, like, I think it was like the day or two before he actually got the Norris Trophy, and he told me that they didn't talk about the future or the contract or anything like that at all. It was just kind of like meeting up, hey, what's going on, type of thing. And then, Elliot Friedman's report yesterday for Sportsnet saying that there's going to be a post-draft, you know, meeting between Zach and Don Waddell. What's interesting there is, I ended up, you know, kind of sending some calls and texts around last night as well to people who would know about that meeting, whether I could confirm that. And I was told, quote, I don't know where that came from, from the person I got a hold of. So, you know, I'm not saying it's not happening, but it is definitely something that, you know, Don's going to meet with the media tomorrow at noon at Nationwide Arena. We'll be there, and that will be something that I plan to ask him is just about, you know, where do things stand on that front? It is the most important subject for them right now. And do they plan to meet with them before the draft or after? Because to me, it feels like, you know, if you're going to meet with somebody about that, you're going to want to know before the draft, right? Like, if you do it after the draft, you still have the rest of the summer, but like the draft is one of those things where, you know, a lot of trades get done.
So, Hedge, let's say the meeting is going to happen this weekend when all the draft stuff is done. And let's live in a world right now to where they don't feel great about what they hear from Z coming out of this meeting. What do you think they should do in that case?
Well, I mean, I think from the team side, you have to stay ahead of it as much as you can, right? And so what that means is when you just look at it, I wrote about this recently, but if you just look at the situation right now, you have a current Norris Trophy winner. He's the reigning winner right now, and he's coming off, I mean, he was a runner-up last year, so basically arguably 2 years in a row, he could have won the Norris. He's top two or three defensemen in the league overall, and this year the best. He's only 28. He's going to turn 29 in July, and he's got 2 years left on his current deal that pays 9.58, which at the time he signed it, it was like, oh, it's a big raise, you know, and it's a huge bargain now, right? Like when you look at it and the cap's going up. So those are all things that when I look at those, I've got a guy who potentially may not want to be here or may think he wants a fresh start somewhere else. I don't know. We'll have to hear from Zach. But when you hear from that, you start looking at it and you go, God, that's awfully attractive. You know, that should be able to draw back a huge trade, you know, package in return if it came.
Uh-oh. All right, little plug pull there. So my feeling on this, and he was alluding to it, is why, if there is a second meeting, why wouldn't it happen before this draft? I don't think it's urgent to have it right now. Zach just had a baby. Zach's not running in saying, get me out of town. Like, it can be punted to next season. Like, it could happen. I know you risk some things going another season, but I'm just saying, like even if he's hesitant or he wants, this is a show me year. Let's see what the team is. Who's going to be coaching me? We got an NHL coach right now on a 1 year deal. You have uncertainty on your side. I don't know how I'm going to feel in a year. Like, I don't think there's any urgency right now where Zach's going in there and saying, hey, we had this first meeting a couple weeks ago and you guys aren't doing anything. I don't think that's what's happening here, Hedge. I think there's a good move, a smart move by the club to just find out where he is. It's the second meeting that I think is interesting to me because the CBJ vision didn't change in 2 weeks. That's the interesting thing to me. What did they talk about in the first meeting earlier this month that called for a second one here at the end of the month?
Yeah, and if they get any sense at all that he's not sure that he wants to be here, I mean, to me, you got to stay ahead of it, and you got to at least explore your options. The thing I was going to say earlier, though, was he holds all the cards here right now, at least for this year, because he has a full new move clause, right? So, like, even if you worked out the best trade you could work out, if it's a team he doesn't want to go to, he can just be like, sorry, I don't want to go. And so he's here for another year. Next year, like, as we get to with him having 1 year left, I think he has like a 10-team no trade clause. So it gets a little easier to trade him where you may want to send him. But, like, that's the whole thing, is that these guys, it's kind of like the NBA, right? A lot of these guys seem like they want to, like, try and force these trades to certain teams, the only certain teams that they want to go to, and they can kind of do it if they have these no move trades. I'm not saying that's what Zach's doing, but I'm saying he's got that option if he wants to right now because of the full no move.
What is the latest on Jet Greaves and where Jet and his camp are with the team and trying to come together and get to a new deal that this guy's absolutely earned? What's the latest on Jet?
Well, I mean, when I talked to Don recently about the RFAs, it's him, it's Fantilli, it's Sillinger. I think those three are the big, you know, restricted free agents that are up this year. I mean, it's not that they aren't important, but as we see here, you know, now Zach is thrown in the middle of this as well. You got the draft. You got, like, your pending UFAs that you may want to keep or lose. They may walk. Who knows? That's Jenner and Marchment and Gabranson. There's all these things that Don kind of needs to take care of, Don in the front office needs to take care of before they can kind of get to the RFAs. They'd love to sign those guys if they can, like right now. So I think what you're going to see is they're probably going to get signed, much like a couple of years ago when Kent Johnson signed and Sillinger actually signed a 2-year bridge, I think, and then Marchenko as well signed. Those guys all signed in like mid to late July. There's no huge urgency with any of them right now, just because from this point, it doesn't look like anybody's going to hold out. And they're contractually, I mean, like the team still owns their rights. So they're going to get signed. They're going to get their money. They're going to get their deals. They've carved out, you know, enough in the salary cap to give each of them the amount that they, you know, deserve and that they've earned. So I'm really not worried about the three RFAs right now, including Fantilli or Greaves. I think that those are all going to get done. The bigger one is going to be, you know, like a Mason Marchment. You know, you could, when you look at this UFA class that's coming up on July 1st, because the salary cap has gone up so much, teams have been able to hold on to a lot of their talent. And so when you look at the forwards that may be available, I mean, Marchment might be the second or third best of forward available out there as GMs look at it. Well, then that's going to be like a bidding war type thing. If you've got a chance to sign him now, I don't know. If it's me, I'm looking to potentially sign him before he gets to market. But at this point, it looks like he and Boone are going to be on the UFA market unless something changes.
This is what I would do. I would sign Marchment. I would overpay him, but on a shorter term. That's what I would do. I don't think it ages well. A 6x5, I don't think that ages well. The cap's going up, that's fine. I don't think, from a skating standpoint, he's not going to get faster. Don't sign him for more than 4. He could be more physical. I 2 years and an overpay, that's not a problem for me. Boone, I think, Hedge, I think he's a fourth line guy now on this team. Like, he can move up when needed. We've seen that. But the good news is this team has grown. And, I mean, whether you move the captaincy, can he lead from the back? I think those are very legitimate questions. At the right price, you always want a Boone Jenner. Team-friendly deal, that's fine. I don't think he has the numbers to back up something long-term. I think he's going to get a deal somewhere. I think he's a depth guy now. And at the right price, and you know Hedge, you know this better than anybody. You're probably getting, what, 60 games a year? You're not getting them all. And so I think this is kind of where they are with him.
Yeah, I would agree with you on Boone and Marchment to an extent. I mean, ideally, you'd love that. But, you know, if Marchment hits the open market, I mean, listen, Marchment's, what, like you say, he's 32. This is his last shot.
Cash in. Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, to cash in to get more than 2 years, whatever. And I have to think, because of the scarcity of, like, impact forwards that are going to be in this UFA market, he's going to get it. Mm-hmm. Like, somebody's going to be out there in a bidding war. And now, you could also make the argument, just like you just did, be like, okay, fine. Then he goes somewhere else and that's their problem. You know, when he gets to be 37 years old or whatever, at whatever he signs at. And this is also the Blue Jackets team that did sign Charlie Coyle into his high 30s at a fairly, you know, I wouldn't say it's a steep cap rate compared to the, you know, the way the cap's going up, but it's not cheap either. So, you know, do you want two of those guys, three of those guys? They're very interesting discussions that the Jackets have right now.
Well, and you'll be having them with the big man tomorrow at noon, and it'll be exciting through the draft and see if anything comes out of this presumed second meeting with Z. So the offseason just got exciting, my man. We'll ring you back. Thanks for this.
All right. Good to hear from you guys. See ya.
Yep. Well done. Brian Hedger, Columbus Dispatch, covers the CBJ. He was on the Brian Heat and Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. All right. We'll come back. And speaking of trades, if the Cavs can make this trade, should they? We'll let you know next. Rothman.
Morning Juice is now on YouTube, weekday morning starting at 6.
If you're a fan of Bobby Carpenter, he's ready to attack and dominate.
If you're a fan of Jeff Goodoff,
drive directly to a hospital.
Seriously,
The Fan.
The Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Ohio Heating and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Hey, this is Michael Behrens, Big Red, otherwise known as the Czar of the Parking Lot, and you're listening to Rothman and Ice on 97.1, The Fan.
The Big Red Machine.
That's so elite.
I'll tell you what, one thing, though.
You're not parking as close to the door as you used to.
I never violated anything. I was always really on the right side of the line, but there was a guy that pulled into the lot today, and I was out there having a conversation. And this dude just pulled right by me and went all the way to the end.
Who was it?
Probably got in a little bit in front of the no parking sign.
We know this person?
I'm not sure. I didn't really check. I didn't bring out the chains.
Okay.
You know, all right. I didn't get the index card to see. But we do know this person.
Mm.
And it was like it was no biggie. Just park.
Do they work on the TV or radio side of the building?
They would be on the DJ side.
Okay. Does this person host a show here?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, just answering.
So TLC, that was a pretty big clue right there. It's one of the hosts. And you said they pulled into the parking lot when you were already here. So to me.
Well, I had just gotten here.
You had just gotten here, and they were
gotten, whatever.
who do you think this was, TLC? It's a host here at the Fan that parked, because I haven't even looked at the lot since I got here. Like, I honestly don't know.
I have a guess.
TLC, love him. He's the best thing to happen to radio in a long time.
It was our guy. It was him.
Right to the front.
Here's the thing.
By the way, of all the drops he could have played.
Yeah.
You had to pick that one.
I went to my TLC drops folder, and here are my options. You two are the best in the business. That's more about you two.
I like that one.
I have, that's about you two, though. So that would have been confusing. It would have been like, wait, who's it? I have this one. Drugs. Don't know what I was talking about. I have this. I never really know where to shoot it. Somebody told me to do that. Hey, I'll try anything once. And then the classic Baja Blast, idiot.
Mm-hmm. What were you? What was the conversation there?
The last one?
Oh,
well, I don't think I was here for that one.
Adam was in your chair, and he asked me what Baja Blast pie tasted like. Baja Blast, idiot.
What he meant to ask, and he kind of did this before TLC just slapped him down, was what does it taste like? Yeah. Not what does it taste like? Give me something that it tastes like if I've never had Baja Blast.
We know TLC is not going to miss any chance to dunk on AK. Whenever he can get it, he is going to body AK and vice versa.
That was a whole
okay. But yeah, the dude just.
But it was him.
It was me.
Now, the question is, are you parked in front of a no parking sign?
Yes.
All right. So you didn't care.
Here's the situation.
An entitlement. Your parents went away on a week's vacation?
Nope. I was just that committed. That's what happened. So I pull into the parking lot.
You saw it?
Yep. There was a conversation taking place. Rothman and Vegas were out there, so you know the parking lot police patrol.
It's summer.
Yep.
You working for the czar now?
No, I'm not doing
anything. You working for Barron's now out there?
No. So here's what happens. So I go out there, and I'm pulling into the parking spot, and I'm thinking, I'm just as soon as I pull into the parking lot, I look all the way down to the end, closest to the door, and I think there's an opening just because of the way that the cars are parked.
Yeah.
And then you get far enough to realize, oh, there was a car tucked behind a car because somebody parked too far out. So they were covering up a spot that I thought was empty. Turns out there was a car parked in it. But now it's like, I'm too committed and now there's an audience. So there's no way I'm doing a 3-point turn to circle back to a different spot. Yeah. I'm just parking there like I own the place and hoping that nobody says anything.
He's like, what can I tell you? Take it up with consumer affairs. I'm like, what? All right, just give me my car back.
See, Dom's not in the building every day the way he was to call you out. Yeah. He really was kind of the czar of parking before Barron's took over this thing. But now it's nice to know you and Barron's have worked things out and are working together out there in the lot. It's awesome.
Big Red, czar of the parking lot.
What are you talking about? I want my car. We ask that you please bear with us. Bear with you? It's a parking lot.
Movie?
People are supposed to be able to get their cars.
Dude, where's my car?
Nope. It's a great guess. I did think about that. What is that AR?
Seinfeld.
Oh.
Yeah, that's... Shoot. That's a tough
Jiffy,
play.
Jiffy Park.
That's tough when you start doing TV shows, too.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We're cooked if that's...
And then every now and again, he'll do the movie quote voice.
Correct.
Yeah. But it won't be... It'll just be TV his own voice, his own thought.
Yeah.
That's time to leave, like retire, like when he said to me one day, like, what's that from? And I'm like, it's not from anything. That's when I'm like, good night, everybody. Yeah. That's
the movie quotes are just becoming a part of you.
Yeah.
All right. What happens when your real life exceeds your dreams? Keep it to yourself. All right. Let's get into this Cavs thing. Are they going to
hunt for Red October?
No, but it was a movie.
That doesn't narrow it down.
It was broadcast news.
Oh.
Yeah. All right. So they got to run to make this trade. That's why I don't think it's going to happen. Is that weird for me to react that way? Like when I hear something maybe a little too good to be true?
So if
but I don't even know if it is too good to be true.
If you don't know what AR is referencing, coming out of the draft last night, Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated has covered the NBA for a long time. He's also a Boston guy, right? I think he started as a beat writer or whatever out in Boston. He's got some connections out there. He has reported that, and here's, I'll just read the quote. The name and team that came back to me is Evan Mobley and the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think at this point, there's no way Jaylen Brown goes back to Boston. I think he'll be playing for somebody else when we start a new NBA season. To what you said, though, if this is real.
Oh, a two-way wing that just.
I'm in. I love Evan Mobley. Like what I think he will be down the road. But this is about a team and a roster right now that is thinks they are a contender. I like Jaylen Brown. If they can make it happen, I'm doing it.
Okay, so Mobley's younger, he's cheaper, and he's a defender. And maybe he's harder to replace technically?
I think Jaylen Brown raises the ceiling of this team with his two-way ability. So there's no denying what you just said. Evan Mobley's a all-world defensive player, won defensive player a couple years ago. I know Wimby was out, but whatever. He's got the title. But I just think watching the postseason the last couple of years, they need that type of enforcer, that no doubt opposite Donovan Mitchell. This is a guy that can clear things out, get a bucket, and on the other end, help you out there as well. So, yes, while you're giving up some on the defensive side, I still think you're getting a really, really complete player in Jaylen Brown who got some MVP votes this year and I think has some of those years left in him here in the next 3 to 4 years. So I'd do it.
They did a poll up in Cleveland. About some reaction to Cavs fans believing in Evan Mobley and how maybe the best, you've heard the cliche, the best trade is the one you don't make. Like, I think he may fall into that briefly until you find out that maybe Jaylen Brown is, you're getting Jaylen Brown for maybe a little less than you would normally based on Boston's motivation. Do you have Brad Stevens' soundbite?
I do.
Okay, so yesterday on the show, I said, boy, this is going to be awkward for Jaylen Brown. And we'll do this at the top of the hour, because this will be a good tease for that. So, he knows he was dangled for the Giannis trade.
Yeah.
And it didn't get done. They chose a different deal. They chose Miami and not you. And now he's got to sit there with Tatum and Stevens and let everybody make this sound like one big happy family. You'll hear Stevens top of the hour, Rothman.com.
Broadcasting live from the McDaniel GM Superstore Studios, driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive. WBNS HD1 Columbus.
Good afternoon, I'm Tyler Danberg. The Big Ten announced Ohio State quarterback Julian Sand, receiver Jeremiah Smith, and safety Jalen McClain will join head coach Ryan Day at the league's media days in Chicago. They'll speak on July 29th. Baseball, the Guardians visit the White Sox at 2:10, but the series finale will have to wait as it's currently in a weather delay on Chicago's south side. Tanner Bibee starts for Cleveland against Derek Fetty for Chicago, which leads the series 2-0 and has a one-game lead on the Guards for the division lead. Tonight, the Reds host the Brewers at 7:10, which can be heard on The Fan after the Buckeye show. Milwaukee's Shane Rowan faces Cincy's Rhett Lauder. Redlegs are last in the NL Central. This update sponsored by RCDRV Supercenter in Heath, Delaware, and Pataskala, or at RCDRV.com. Up next on Rothman and Ice, Cleveland.com's Mary Kay Cabot joins to talk Browns at 2:30 right here on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for A Deeper Dive.
Sponsored by Orthopedic One, Central Ohio's most trusted orthopedic practice. Find a physician or location near you at OrthopedicOne.com.
Final hour, we'll take you to Cleveland. Mary Kay Cabot at 2:30. Talk about Coach Monken, his idea at quarterback. Is this Deshaun's job to lose? We mentioned, staying with Cleveland for the moment, that the front office has basically indicated that Evan Mobley is not on the trade block. Let's not believe everything we read, but we know things change, and they change quickly. And they did a, Fear of the Sword did a Cavs fans poll.
Okay.
And so whether or not they'd be open to trading Mobley.
What's the vibe?
For a short-term upgrade. Like, we saw Giannis, Jaylen Brown, Jalen Williams. All were given as examples of players that Mobley could be traded for.
By the way, you mentioned Giannis. Jimmy Haslam, in the span of a couple months, Miles Garrett and Giannis Antetokounmpo. That's wild. Like an owner in, what, 2 months or whatever it is, less than that, pulled off two trades that include arguably the best players in the sport. I don't think it had ever been done.
They both wanted gone.
They did.
It's not like he went to them and said, I'm moving you.
But it's pretty wild that falls at the feet of one owner, right? Mm-hmm. Wow. But yeah, either way, Jimmy Haslam's been getting active.
So I'm going to let you guys guess.
Okay.
What percentage of Cavaliers fans said they would trade Evan Mobley for a short-term upgrade? While you're thinking about this.
Yeah.
We know Mobley's All-NBA, Defensive Player of the Year.
25?
I believe so. He's got potential. We know that. And could he evolve into a top 15 player in the league?
Got that upside. Yeah. I think he's got that ability.
So give me a percentage.
Of the fans that would want to.
That would trade him for a
short-term upgrade. That does not include Jaylen Brown's name in it. It just says short-term
They were given examples of guys that, when they were going to dangle him. This was before the Giannis trade.
Because it doesn't say Jaylen Brown, I'm going to say
it's had Giannis, Jaylen Brown, Jalen Williams. They were available at the time this poll was done.
Okay, I got you. I'm going to say,
so those guys were available when they did this poll.
Since they're all available, I'm going to say yes, that it's probably
what percentage?
70?
What do you got?
I could go 71 here.
Or you could go 69.
Yeah, that would be the other option. I was going to say 83.
You are going to say it or you were going to say it?
I am going to say 83%.
Give it to my man over here. You guys are both way off, but you're closer.
Is it no?
Only 24% of Cavs fans are willing to trade Evan Mobley for Giannis, Jaylen Brown, Jaylen Williams.
Wow.
When they were available.
That's surprising to me.
Yeah, they want to stick with Mobley.
And that means 76% of Cavaliers fans are dumb.
Now, the Cavs' window to win a championship got pretty narrow after Garland goes for Harden. And so there's a two or three-year time frame that you could realistically hope to maybe cash in now. And moving Mobley for someone like you and I believe, Jaylen Brown, would I don't think that's a bad idea.
I'm sure some Cleveland fans are in the headspace of, man, we just got rid of Myles Garrett. Now you want us to get rid of Evan Mobley.
And that may be part of it.
I'm sure that's factoring into some of the emotion as well.
How could you not be in win now mode right now?
Well, and that's what I'm saying, because when I look at a short-term upgrade, now, how many short-term upgrades equal titles? I don't know. But Mobley is going to have a good, long career.
He is.
No one's believing he's not. And so I think this poll can cause some meltdowns a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, how could they be thinking that? Like, TLC's reaction. But I think it's, wow, we got a proven player. He's going to be good for us for a while. And the short-term upgrade may not necessarily equal a title. And then where will we be?
You know where my mind goes to? If it were Jared Allen, that would be a landslide. Yes, I think amongst Cavs fans. But we've seen this movie before, right? And I think they need to do something to change it. And to get yourself into the championship inner circle, I don't think a Jared Allen is going to get you the return you need to do that. Evan, unfortunately, is the piece that can get you that. And so that's why I do think Donovan Mitchell, Jaylen Brown, those guys, for me, can make more of a push in the postseason than what I've seen this core do already.
Yeah. Now, back to the Jaylen Brown thing.
Yeah.
I believe the only way that Brad Stevens can say what you're about to hear is if he really was up front with Jaylen, that they've had candid conversations. He knew he was going to be involved in this. I'm sure Jaylen Brown is probably wanting to be involved with it to a certain extent. Maybe not to the exact location, but that he may want out of Boston. And so that's why I think he can say this, but I don't know if it could truly be what's happening.
Jaylen Brown's a big part of us. Like, I'm never going to predict the future, but every indication, everything that I think about is over the past few years has been building around those guys. And so, obviously, you never know, but at the same time, I think the one thing I want to make very clear is how valued he's always been. And he's been amazing. He's been an amazing teammate, great person to be around. And whether that run ends 10 years from now when he retires or before, there's a lot to celebrate. And we have a great relationship and an open relationship where we talk about everything. But I don't want to predict the future, but I look at it as this is our team.
I mean, he laid it on pretty thick, to be honest with you. That's not just like a passing the buck.
Well, so it kind of tells me that either, like, I don't think he'd be lying that much. I think that he may believe that they're okay. I don't know how personally Jaylen Brown has taken this, being dangled in all these sweepstake trades. But if he also wants out and Brad Stevens is honest with him, hey, we're going to try to do something here, then maybe he can speak like this and feel like he's being honest. But it's not clear about the fallout now that you weren't able to move him.
It'd be actions over words for me if I were Jaylen Brown. This is now the second time in a matter of a few years where you try to get rid of me for a player that you think is better and will do better here in Boston. Kevin Durant, he was on the table for Kevin Durant, and to your point,
I'm probably better than him, and he's thinking.
Probably thinking that as well. And he knows, because it was an official report, that he was offered for Giannis. And so for Jaylen Brown, how could you not be a little irritated by all this and probably want out at this point?
Unless you've been a part of it, in a way.
I just think...
But how can he say, though...
He's lying. Brad Stevens is lying.
How can he say that I won't build around him and these guys... You tried to trade him.
You know what I think about these players and coaches and GMs. Like, a lot of these guys are very good at lying or stretching the truth, however you want to label it. Jaylen Brown has every right to want out of Boston at this point. Because you just watched me a couple years ago win finals MVP, be a part of obviously something very special, and then the guy that you guys covet so much in Jason Tatum wasn't around for 90% of the season, and what did I do on my own? I held things down in the form of us being a 2 seed when nobody thought we really had a chance to do anything to that level, and I was an MVP candidate this year, and you're still trying to trade me. So yeah, I would want out if I were Jaylen Brown, because I just showed you I can be a true number one in this league, and you keep showing me that you want to get rid of me.
I think it depends on the validity of the Evan Mobley rumors, because I think, despite the fact that Jaylen Brown was competing for an MVP this year, I still think the consensus would be, if Jaylen Brown were involved in a Giannis trade, people would still think Giannis is the best player in that trade. If Jaylen Brown is being dangled out there for the Cavs for Evan Mobley, Who on earth is going to say Evan Mobley's a better basketball player than Jaylen Brown?
I guess the Cavs fans that were voting in that poll.
Oh, 24% of Cavs fans, apparently, yeah. And only them. But in that situation, I think if Jaylen Brown is being offered by the Celtics, now, it's one thing if the Cavaliers call the Celtics and say, hey, we'll give you Evan Mobley, can we have Jaylen Brown? That's on the Cavs.
Yeah.
But Chris Mannix being a Boston-based reporter with his background, we obviously think that these rumors stem from the Boston side of things. And so if that's the case, where Jaylen Brown's name is being involved in trade rumors, where Jaylen Brown is the best player, meaning the Celtics have to give up the best player, then I agree with you. But if all it is what Brad Stevens said, but in the event that we can get rid of him for Giannis, then sure, we can do that. I think a lot of people would agree with that. So I think it depends on the validity of Evan Mobley here.
I hear what you're saying. I definitely hear what you're saying. I just happen to think that the bridge, if it's not all the way burned down, AR, we're almost there with that relationship in Boston. Think about if you were Jaylen Brown after the
Brown's
year you
done
just had.
Some crap talking himself right after, in a way, right, that hasn't maybe helped things.
Sure.
The most fun I've ever had.
Right. That to me is a shot at Jason Tatum. I can't look at that any other way, honestly. And we've seen this, Shaq and Kobe, Kyrie and LeBron, these guys that have to share the same throne to a certain degree, that's only going to happen for so long. And to your point, Jaylen Brown, whether it's Giannis, whether it's KD, he probably thinks I'm just as good, if not better, than these guys. And these guys are older than I am right now. And you're trying to get rid of me. And so I think come fall, Jaylen Brown will be suiting up for the Hawks, Spurs, Blazers, probably, whoever. He's out of there.
I mean, Brad Stevens has a job to do, right?
And Blazers.
It's his job.
They got assets.
You know, if they can get real value in return for him, they will. They're not going to just dish him to dish him, though. I think that's where that's the go-between now we don't know, which is, are they so hell-bent to get him off the team because now it's toxic versus you can't just dish off a great player like that and feel like you're addition by subtraction. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You can't do that because you are running a business. There are parts of, I mean, he's a very, very good player.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Cavs fans like Mobley. Clearly they do.
Yeah, there's a lot to like.
But there is a lot. And there's a lot maybe more to like about him. But with he's not a finished product.
But with Jaylen Brown, he is a finished product that can help you, I think, right now more than Evan can in the moments that matter the most in the playoffs. And that's where they need to get it corrected.
All right, we'll come back. Will this quarterback have a comeback story? And it's not the guy you're thinking of. Rothman
and... Fan has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to The Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye Stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome. Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
A beautiful day ahead with most
outcome.
Rossman and Ice is sponsored by your local Pella Window and Door showroom on Gemini Parkway.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Maddie ranked the most dynamic duo of all time, Caesar Salad and Moscow Mule. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, always drama up there in Cleveland. We love to talk about it down here. Browns beat writer Mary Kay Cabot, Cleveland.com and The Plain Dealer. Had some great time with her on Radio Row, and she's back with us now on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Mary Kay, good to have you back. How you been?
I've been doing great. How you guys doing?
Outstanding. Thank you. Is this Deshaun's job to lose, you feel, yet?
No, I don't think so yet, actually. I think that Shador kind of caught him from behind, pulled sort of even with him, and I think it's going to be a pretty heated battle in training camp. I don't think anything's changed since we last saw Todd Monken when we walked away from minicamp. I still think it's a two-way battle between these guys.
Mary, are you hearing anything at all when it comes to Shador and maybe a team or two kind of swooping in and eyeing him right now as a guy that they maybe want to add to his depth chart? Are you hearing about any interest in other teams trying to acquire Shador at the moment?
No, I haven't really heard anything about that. And I do think, once again, that nothing has changed since Todd Monken told us on June 11th that Shador and Deshaun will come back and fight for this job and probably split the reps pretty evenly in the early going of camp. So, no, I haven't heard anything about that. I know that the Browns really aren't necessarily it's not like they're shopping him or anything like that. I don't see anything like that happening.
feels to me like that, you know, they make the move with Miles and they feel, you know, they're in a rebuild again and the new stadium is going to be coming. I feel like that this year isn't the let's judge Todd Monken year. Now, I know that the NFL is about results, but they can't trade Myles Garrett, even though they got Jared Verse. They can't trade him and then put just all this pressure on Monken for this year to be some kind of a step. How do you view this year in ownership's plan?
Well, they still do have expectations to win more than five games, which they did last year. So Jimmy Haslam is looking for progress. They want to get to some winning. They want to get to some good feelings on the part of the fans. And as you mentioned, they have to start getting some PSLs sold down the road at the new stadium and whatnot. So they need to show fans that progress is being made and that this football team is going in the right direction. So I do think that it is a year in which Todd Monken is expected to win. So they have to take a jump up. They don't necessarily have to make the playoffs or make a deep run in the playoffs, but I think that they want to see a good, solid foundation of this football team and some more victories.
Mary, we now know that there isn't going to be a supplemental draft this year, but let's just say for this conversation that we were expecting a supplemental draft to happen. Were you hearing anything about them possibly exploring an addition in the form of Brendan Sorsby?
No, I had reported, I think it was on June 15th, that I didn't expect them, that they were unlikely to put in a bid on Brendan Sorsby. So I just don't think that they planned to do that back then. I don't think anything has changed since then. And even if he finally ultimately gets his way and the NFL holds a supplemental draft, I don't think the Browns will bid on him. But once again, you can never say never in these situations. They will continue to do their due diligence if he lands back on the landscape, and they'll do their homework. I'm sure they would send someone to the pro day and whatnot. But right now, I just don't think it's likely.
Visiting with our friend Mary Kay Cabot, Browns beat writer, Cleveland.com, and the Plain Dealer on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fangus Hotline. So we had this conversation about Deshaun versus Shadur and others, and my first reaction was, it's a little counterintuitive with Deshaun, because how well does he really need to play this year for them to say, okay, we want to invest a lot more money in him, he's still our future? And I thought, well, you also don't want to stunt a year of growth for Shadur because you had something started there. But it sounds like they're just going to do the best man wins type of thing. What is your feeling on, like, what you would need to see out of Deshaun this year for them to say, we're going to reinvest a lot of money in a guy they feel they've already lost a lot of money on?
Well, at least up until the Myles Garrett trade, and I think it still is this way, they were very adamant that the quarterback competition was going to be based solely on which quarterback gives them the best opportunity to win in the fall. That's what this has been all about. I really don't think that has changed. And they're really trying to focus on that and throw out the window all of the other considerations, such as getting a higher draft pick for next year, developing Shadur Sanders, the future of Deshaun Watson. None of those things are really front burner for them. They really want to field a winning football team, and they want to get back to winning, get back to some respectability, and I think they will let that be their guiding force.
One of the key pieces to the offense, as you know, Mary, is Quinshon Judkins, the former Buckeye, and he just showed promise last year, and he just seems like this guy's got a high ceiling. And so just talk about where he is with his recovery and how the team feels about his availability when we start talking about games here in a few months.
Well, he looked so much better in OTAs and minicamp than I thought he was going to. I did not think that he was going to be explosive and participating in 11-on-11s and doing all of those kinds of things. I really thought that he would be very, very limited in those practices, and he really was not. He was out there just running and looking a whole lot like the Quinshon that you know and the Quinshon that we saw last year. Now, I'm sure he's not 100%, but he was out there doing the work and really moving towards being able to start the season, and I think he will.
What do you think is going to happen here with Denzel Ward? Was not there, mandatory minicamp. Coach didn't really comment on it. Is a new deal coming, new guarantees?
He was actually there during mandatory minicamp. He was there every day. But he only practiced very, very sparingly, and that's because he had just a very minor injury This is not a contract situation. He just had a little minor something. And if it had been the regular season, he would have been able to practice. And it was the same thing with Grant Delpit. That was also not a contract issue. So those guys should be fine for training camp. They didn't want to take any risks with two of their best defensive backs.
How did you feel coming out of OTAs and mini camp and just this all-season cycle about the two new wide receivers in KC Concepcion and Denzel Boston? Just talk about some of the early returns and what you've seen from those guys.
Well, they look really good. They look like they can step in and play some NFL football right from the jump. Denzel Boston brings really, really super sure hands. He can make the contested catch. And then KC brings all kinds of things in terms of creating separation, getting run after catch, and making the difficult catch, although he has to eliminate the drops. But for the most part, I thought they both looked really good. They have elevated this receiving core, and I think they have plenty of weapons on this team for this year.
Do they have somebody on the team that's underrated in your mind that we'll hear more about this season that'll surprise us?
Well, I don't know if people have heard enough about Isaiah Bond yet. He was their deep threat last year, and he's really, really improved this offseason. He looks terrific. I think he's poised for a very big season, and I think whichever quarterback starts is going to find him early and often.
So Andrew Berry did an awesome job identifying in the second round last year, getting Carson Schwechinger. And it's just the unfortunate part about this, Mary, is I think about what could have been, right, if they could have Carson and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. But I want to ask you about JOK, because now we're looking at, I believe he's been already put on the PUP list. Please correct me if I'm wrong, Mary, but the outlook for him in the NFL, what's the word on the street about JOK?
Well, for all intents and purposes, his career is pretty much over, and he's kind of, for the most part, moved on to his next thing. He's going to Harvard, and he's getting an advanced degree there. And so he's pretty much done in terms of his football life on the field for the most part. So it is unfortunate because those two guys would have been dynamite together. And, you know, that neck injury really just was a career-threatening, possibly career-ending thing for him. Really, really sad, because I think he would have gone on to multiple All-Pros. He was just a terrific player.
Before the Myles Garrett trade, I made a bet with somebody here at the station that the Browns would win more than they lost last year. Then the Myles Garrett trade comes, but I knew they were getting this schedule that on paper is the easiest. They've got a million 1 o'clock games. Their body clock should be good. They got a nice middle late bye week that I like. Please tell me, can they still win six?
They can win six. They really should be able to win six. If they get really good quarterback play, they can jump up into the 8-9 range. But that is going to depend on the quarterback. And we just don't know how that's going to go yet, right? Even if Deshaun starts, will he be able to stay healthy? If Shador starts, is he going to come up the learning curve quickly enough? So it is all dependent, I think, on how well the quarterback plays.
Hey, real quick, Mary, Chad Ochocinco came out and kind of laid out what he believes is the plan when it comes to Deshaun and Shador. And I think he alluded to Deshaun getting six games to prove what he's got. Is that relevant? Is that real at all, what he said?
You know, I don't think anybody really knows how this is going to go yet. Nobody even knows if Deshaun is going to win the starting job, let alone how long he would last in the starting job. So everybody has, something to add to this right now. And I just don't think that there's anything definitive at this point.
All right. Great stuff as always. Thanks, Mary Kay. We appreciate your time. Be well.
Sure. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Mary Kay Cabot. Cleveland.com and the Plain Dealer on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline. Let me ask you guys this real fast. If you were Deshaun and Shador, you're playing this out, and you know that they're starting at Jacksonville and at Tampa, would it be better not to be the starter early?
It's
Would you have a better chance kind of rescuing, hey, the team's going to be, they're 0-4 or whatever, and now it's okay, I'll get my shot sooner, rather than, I'll get my first chance.
Dodging some of the tougher opponents is not a horrible idea. Yeah, it's not a bad idea, but I think the way these guys are wired, I want to be the guy, no matter who we're playing.
All right, we'll come back. Tell the Truth is next. Roth
sent you. Bishop and Friends.
He's terrified of the water. Apparently, he snorkeled for the first time.
An Italian guy snorkeling like that is not a good scene. I hope he had some sort of a vest on.
Bishop and Friends, sponsored by Diamond Cellar.
Weekdays from 9 to noon on The Fan.
The Fan Poll is sponsored by JT's Pizza and Pub, home of award-winning pizza and $2 tall boys. All day, every day.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by McDaniel GM Superstore. Driving excellence since 1916. Chevrolet. Together, let's drive.
A little programming note for tomorrow. We'll get all we need to know about our questions. We discussed a lot of Blue Jackets potential drama today. And Don Waddell, GM of the Jackets, will be on with us tomorrow at 12:45.
Let's go. Let's go.
So now there'll be draft talk. There'll be Z talk. There'll be some potential free agent talk.
You think he'll give you his pecking order for the RFAs of importance? You asked him that.
I don't think he'll take us into the room, but I will ask him about, well, yeah, because I think it comes down to overpaying on short term versus is the price right? Like, we talked about that, and there are a lot of guys that you want to have on the team, but at the right price, and we'll find out. So we'll believe if this team is good enough with signing those guys or not, and that'll be at 12:45 tomorrow. TLC, take us home.
So we had some news break during the show that actually made me laugh out loud.
Okay, what do you got?
We have a career update for Brian Kelly.
Okay, what's next? Where are we going?
Brian Kelly is taking his talents to CBS Sports, where he will be a color commentator for Mountain West football games this year.
Ooh.
Yeah.
See, this is what I don't understand. You guys got to help me with something.
Try another question.
Okay, Brian. When you've made the money that he's made,
okay,
why do you feel the need to call Mountain West games? Why
I'm
not
here
just
with my family?
Why not just kick it with them for a year?
Kick it with your real family.
Yes. Well, I would understand studio stuff, but the traveling and the talking to the coaches like that, I wouldn't want to grind that much.
How about that?
If I were Brian Kelly, that's where I'm trying to get at.
Sometimes you want to just keep your hand in the game without a lot of heavy lifting.
You know what? You're spoiled.
And that's it. That's it. And it's...
But all I'm saying is, AR, I would... TV stuff in studio, fine. But the traveling every weekend and doing all that if I'm Brian Kelly? Nah.
Stop. Really? Is that the first question?
Why wouldn't you want to go to Hawaii?
It's a great, phenomenal question there.
When you put it
about the other schools?
I assume maybe he's got in his contract that I'm only calling Hawaii games.
That'd be a flex.
And I'll be there from the fall through the winter.
Yeah, that's where it's at. Okay. That's where
You're looking at this from the wrong perspective.
Exactly. Okay. What I should have said to you.
Okay.
All right. Northern Illinois in the fall?
Yeah. They're going to DeKalb.
What about Wyoming?
Oh, that's beautiful country.
Utah State? Nah. But good for him. He's grinding. I just wouldn't feel the need to do that if I were Brian Kelly. That's all.
Where do the fixes need to come in the second half?
Maybe Alabama doesn't come back in the second half.
He had a little accent in that one, too.
That was against Notre Dame.
Maybe it was real, huh?
Run that back for me.
This was when they were getting destroyed in the championship game.
Where do the fixes need to come in the second half?
Maybe Alabama doesn't come back in the second half.
You guys hearing that?
A little.
Alabama. Like, there's a little twang on the Alabama there.
Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
Come on, man. These coaches are nuts. And they're insane.
I don't know what you want from me.
Can you play the other one again?
Okay.
Please.
Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
Insanity.
He was trying to quote an old coach, insanity, and I think he butchered the line.
He's got it.
I believe this is... Who was the old Buccaneers?
Who's
the Buccaneers
about?
Coach? From, like, the very...
Bruce Arians.
No. He was, like, the very first Buccaneers coach or something like that. Like, way back in the day.
John McKay.
Yeah. The question, like, a reporter asked him, how did you feel about your team's execution? And he said, I'm in favor of it.
That's right. That's an old quote.
So he was trying to quote that, But he wasn't asked that specific question. Yeah. So, like, if the reporter says, how do you feel about your team's execution, that puts it in line for you to say, mm-hmm. I'm in favor of it.
Yeah.
However, when that's not the question that's asked and you try to tee up your own joke.
I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
Well, he tried to, he butchered it. But then he tried to save it with a bigger, darker line.
Yeah. How do you feel about the death penalty, Brian
Kelly?
I'm
in favor of execution.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Somehow,
you didn't stick the landing. Just slither off the mat. Don't try to. It's over. You don't need another cartwheel.
Yeah, I didn't think anything could get worse than Kyle Shanahan's death comment that all of us may not be here on Sunday.
That's the ultimate perspective.
But that's worse to me.
Oh, my.
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday, so I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday.
Come on, man.
Maybe he was the one. Maybe he had disclosure day before the movie. I'd like to disclose to everyone that the world will be over.
You feel any better about the movie disclosure day, or
running back to see it?
Will you ever, when it comes,
it
to
wasn't
your,
War of the Worlds.
Your smart TV.
Spielberg did a better job 20 years ago
than he did
on
now.
An alien movie than he did. I'm not blaming him directly. Story and script, okay.
But you're good. You don't need to watch it again.
I don't know. I was sleeping for the first 10 minutes. I don't. Maybe the beginning was great.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know what you want from me.
He was tired.
I really was tired, man. I was. It was a late afternoon.
Yeah.
Did you want him to not blink during the movie?
What do you want? You want us to win 70-0 against Florida to keep you happy?
Yes, coach. That's exactly what I want.
These are great sound bites.
They really are.
This is all from one press conference.
So he was on one.
Here, I'll give you the... This is obviously from the halftime or whatever of the LSU basketball game before he even coached the game.
I'm here with my family.
And then later in that same deal.
It's a great night to be a Tiger.
Okay, so the execution.
Just would have said Tiger.
The execution ones were from Notre Dame, Florida State, where they almost blew a gigantic lead. And, like, Mackenzie Milton came in the game and all that stuff.
Maybe our entire team needs to be executed after tonight.
That was from that game. Basically, everything else is from one press conference.
Oh, man.
And I played like 20 drops.
Unbelievable. There's tell the truth.
Not like he didn't do anything, right? He passed your boy Newt Rockne. Like,
and now he's calling Utah State games.
Probably flying to Hawaii on somebody else's
UNLV.
Tab.
We got to go. Yep. Common Man and Timmy coming up next. Nicole Sheard stops by at 3:30. Don't move.
Goodbye.